Oh, was that your tummy? Or was that my tummy?
It might have been yours.
My tummy's making weird noises.
Remember that whole buildup of Scatman Crothers coming back to the Overlook Hotel and then he just immediately gets an axe to the chest? We are live! Yeah, that's good. Okay. Remember that?
No.
No.
Nope. I don't follow the history of Scatman Crothers.
No, and The Shining.
Yeah. Last time I saw that was a good 30 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say I haven't seen it since the 80s.
So the first act of the film, Scatman Crothers interacts with Danny Torrance and teaches him about how he's got this psychic power called The Shining, so they can communicate with each other over long distances. And then in the third act, really in the second act, when his dad starts going crazy, he uses The Shining to communicate with Scatman Crothers and says, you know, we're in trouble, come rescue us. Mm-hmm. And so for the next hour of the film, Scatman Crothers goes from Florida back to Colorado, like contacts the local police, he rents a car, he goes up there, he gets a bobcat because the road's closed, so he can drive over the snow in a mm-hmm. bobcat to
I
get the Overlook Hotel.
Yeah.
And then the instant he gets to the hotel, he gets like 20 feet into the entryway and just gets murdered with an axe. And that's the end of his plot line. It's the greatest just fuck you to an entire plot line ever.
Okay.
I have my phone on the table. I'm sorry.
So, speaking of theatrical things,
good news
today.
We don't need no more Cats fucking news. God damn it.
It feels like you're not appreciating how good this is. It's like if they set up Chekhov's gun, and then the guy goes to fire the gun, and it misfires and detonates in his hands and kills him. Like, it's the greatest anti-Chekhov's gun.
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of Chekhov,
I get it.
Speaking of Chekhov, there's the anniversary for Space Seed is out. Mm-hmm. The episode where Khan makes his appearance in the Star Trek mm-hmm. universe.
Yeah, where Chekhov infuriates him off camera by using a bathroom when Khan really needs to pee.
Which is kind of funny because somebody else, they had the Star Trek on Facebook had made the post about it. It was like, hey, what was your favorite memory about Space Seed? And somebody did post. It's like, my favorite memory is when Walter Koenig was on the episode. And then he's decided to, they were looking for things for Star Trek 2, and he shut up his mouth, so he just did the part.
For Christmas, I got Raylene a model kit for Christine, the car.
Oh,
But the only reason I bought her that was as an excuse because the model kits were buy one, get one free at Michael's Crafts, mm-hmm. and I got myself an Enterprise and Botany Bay two-pack, so it's got the Enterprise and then a little branch that comes off and the Botany Bay's next to it.
Oh, I thought you just got yourself an earwig.
No.
So you can be under control of Con Noonan Singh. How does he know how, like... I guess it's just they're susceptible to suggestion.
Correct.
So it's not just specifically to him. It's really to be anybody who just says.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Whoever happened to be there.
Okay.
Would have been.
I was going to say, it'd be very hard to train an animal like that.
Cats did fine, David. It did fine.
Did fine.
It made more money than we'll ever have.
Yeah, but it's a quarter of its production budget.
Yeah, but if you ignore that it costs money to make...
And to market.
If you ignore all of that, if you ignore all the money they spent and just look at the money they made...
$27
million. It made
$27
million.
Yeah.
Did it make enough money for the day one patch?
I'm not
that
sure.
That crunch in there is pretty expensive.
Yeah, so Cats ended its eight-week theatrical run this week and made 27 some point something million. On a production budget of about $100 million, and then marketing on top of that. The hilarious comparison is that this week Sonic the Hedgehog also opened up and to an initial weekend sales of $57 million. So literally in its first weekend, Sonic the Hedgehog did double twice as much as Cats in the entire theatrical run.
And oddly enough, Sonic the Hedgehog, at least last time I looked at it, had a fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
A better rating than the most recent Star Wars film. Any of the are if somebody told you that all of this was going to happen a year ago, would anybody have believed it?
I would have believed Cats was shit, though.
Okay.
That trailer just was nightmare inducing. I mean, it was pretty bad. Star Wars, on the other hand, I don't know. It's hard to recover from The Last Jedi. And I liked The Last Jedi a lot. But I understand that fans were probably... People just need to stop putting out these movies in yearly instances. I don't need to see them every single fucking year.
Well, and especially, like, put the movies out when they're ready to be put out. Like yeah. Rise of Skywalker, they changed it, like, a year ago. Like, this, like, take your time. Make the film you want to make. But my more important film news is that this week is finally, and I don't say that necessarily in a good way, just that it's been impressive how long it's been. This is the first week since it came out that Knives Out hasn't been in the top 10. It's been over, like, 3.5 months of being in the top 10. That's insane to me. So good job, Knives Out. And I'm glad they already greenlit a sequel. Not sequel. They've greenlit the Benoit Blanc cinematic universe, which I'm cool
Chris
with.
Chris Benoit?
No, Benoit Blanc.
Chris Benoit.
No, Benoit Balls.
Benoit Balls. Balls, yeah.
Schmitty Did you see Balls? Knives Out?
Nope, never saw.
You schmuck.
What was the last movie I saw?
Was it Knives Out?
Nope. Nope.
Cats?
Nope.
Rise of Skywalker?
I think so.
That was the last movie I've seen. Knives Out is on the
Wait, you saw Cats list. Before you saw Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
His wife likes the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
She wasn't, I mean, in her defense, she wasn't familiar with the musical at all, but she liked the book.
You asshats need to see Knives Out.
It's on the top of our list, but we haven't literally gotten to the theater since then.
Yeah, you deserved that. Yeah, you deserved that.
That hurt.
Well, oddly enough, you were mocking the only good song in the musical.
It's the only song I know in the musical.
But hey, has there ever been a cat so clever as the magical Mr. Mustafiles? How is the cat whose name is basically one of Satan's names not the bad guy?
Because McCavity is based off of Moriarty, so he has to be the bad guy.
What? How? What? Yeah. How is this like the Sherlock Holmes?
That's literally the inspiration for the...
The name McCavity comes from the name Moriarty?
Yeah. And in the poem, he's also the Napoleon of crime, which was how Moriarty was described.
This is bad.
Yeah, that's literally why McCavity was the bad guy, because that was how T.S. Eliot...
Fuck you, T.S. Eliot. Fuck you, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I mean, you can't blame T.S. Eliot for anything that came after it, because it's just a book of children's poems about cats. And as a book of children's poems about cats, Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats is perfectly serviceable. It's just that when you try to say, hey, there is a coherent plot here, no, there is not a plot.
Speaking of musicals, I just want to reference, because I know neither of you watched the show. On BoJack,
it's not music. Oh, okay.
On BoJack Horseman, somebody mentioned that a Stephen King play was playing next door to a Stephen Sondheim musical, and they were worried that there was going to be a conflict, but it turns out that Misery Loves Company. And that's a fucking amazing theater joke. Misery Loves Company, Andy. Oh, I just had to throw that out there. Okay. Welcome to episode... We didn't even introduce ourselves.
Hey! Welcome to Crippled System, episode 303.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. A palindrome. It's three divisible.
My name is Andy.
My name is Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Woo!
The source of a problem is able to be blamed. I don't know what that means. Oh, we can blame T.S. Eliot for the Cats movie. It's his fault. It's kind of like how the French are to blame for the war in Iraq.
Is it like for like?
Because if you can trace it all the way back to
Vietnam War.
No, beyond that, what the fuck? Why can I? Treaty of Versailles.
You could blame a lot on the Treaty of Versailles.
Right. Because the Treaty of Versailles arguably caused World War II, which caused the Cold War, which caused blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
I just thought we could blame the English for it.
Well, I mean, the English are to blame for almost everything.
I mean they're just a default scapegoat for everything.
I mean, when in doubt, just blame some white superpower.
Yeah. English, the Americans, the Russians, they're probably if there's something wrong is the world, something is wrong in the world, one of those three is probably responsible for it.
Yeah. It still surprises me how much the Dutch Empire just went away. Like in the late 1700s, you know, they were huge. The English training. Yeah, they were giant. East. They were into the Caribbean. They were and then just gone. No, they're just they got their little Netherlands.
They legalized pot, and that's what happened.
They were like, we don't need an empire anymore, man. Let's stay at home and drink pot.
Drink pot.
Yeah. Well, some kind of really chunky laudanum.
And just take that CBD oil, just rub it on the gums, and just go.
Yeah, they were kind of just a historical flash in the pan because there was the French and the English were fighting for Dutch independence from Spain, and then they all of a sudden had an empire, and then they just went away.
Yep, but I always play as the Dutch when I play Sid Meier's Pirates.
Yeah.
Because you can't play as the Spanish, because you're going to be fucking up Spanish ships all game long. So that's just not... I mean, those treasure ships are too juicy. And then, fuck the English and fuck the French. So by default, Dutch.
There's a game that I think it was called Uncharted Seas that was for the NES way back in the day, or maybe Super Nintendo, that you had like a whole bunch of a large trading economy, and you're trying to build up your ships, and it had kind of like the real-time combat with that. The best part is when you invested into the London shipyards, you got five-star galleons out of him, and you could have like 50 cannon shots on it. It was awesome. I remember the game, but not too much to make a good story.
Well, also we don't.
But I believe that getting five-star. Not what system it was on.
Also, you wouldn't get galleons from a British shipyard. That would be Spanish. The British would have. Mm-hmm. Non-galleons. Dreadnoughts or men-at-arms.
I don't remember
ships specifically. Of the line.
Ships of the Line, thank you.
I just remember them having basically some of the best ships in the game.
It's Sid Meier's Pirates. You just go with the Indian canoe. You can only fit like 20 guys on it, but it's the fastest ship, so no one can escape you, and sword fighting's broken in that game.
I played it a while ago, and I it was okay.
Sword fighting and dancing.
Fuck dancing.
Well... if you dance correctly, then you get to fuck. That's the point.
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember Sid Meier's Pirates at all.
Well,
So, do we have any announcements? There's an event coming up in Chicago that we could talk about.
In a month.
And then, in a couple of months after that, there is an event in Des Moines, Iowa that we could talk about.
My March is so asininely busy. It's insane. I think I'm doing something every day that isn't a weekday.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get in trouble with Leslie in March as well, because I think I'm going with you to an event that's in Chicago, and then the week after we're going back to Chicago, and then
2 weeks after.
Is it 2 weeks after?
Yeah, because it's the 14th and then the 28th, okay. Then the 25th.
We're going to go see Devin in his Town's End.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Which I don't know any of his music at all.
You listen to some. I played some stuff of his on the car ride down to Warfare Weekend.
Oh, is that what that is?
What? Schmucko. Oh, my Sundays aren't too bad. That's the only announcement. I mean, go over more announcements. March 1st, I'm bowling for Colin's, and then I'm going to the MST3K live show here in town. March 7th, I'm going to a surprise birthday party for a friend. March 13th, I'm seeing Wicked here in town. March 14th, it's Devin Townsend in Chicago. And then March 25th through 29th, it's Adepticon. I think March 21st, I was going to do a big board game day. I'm going to do asymmetrical board game day. So like Dune and Root, games like that.
Just things that are dirty?
What? No. No.
Look, Dune is sand. Sand's dirty. No. And Root is in the ground, and that's dirty, too.
No.
What other kind of dirty games do you got?
No. I have...
Terraforming Mars.
That would be a good one for dirt as well.
Come Gargling Sluts?
No, that's...
That's dirty.
That's a video. Are we going to play, like, Nightmare?
We're going to play Nightmare with... Yes. With Come Gargling Sluts. It's like a lot of movies have board games that spin off of them. Scrappy Hero Pop.
Can we have that have Nightmare in the bottom corner and then just have him popping up while there's just like a picture in picture?
They should splice that guy into Pornhub videos.
Everything.
So you're just watching a video and you're going to town and all of a sudden he's like, silence! Just pops up.
Who is the old one? I want to toy with the old one now.
So did I. That's why I was watching this video. Don't interrupt my granny porn, Crypt Keeper.
I love the gatekeeper from that series. He is so good.
Each of you have been marked by a number and stained with a color.
Oh, my Lord. That must have been so fun to film.
Maybe.
Oh, it had to be great, man. That guy is loving it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If he was the spokesperson for McDonald's, he's like, I'm loving it.
Bring back the gatekeeper. Also, side note, God damn it. Someday at Adepticon this year, I don't know which day yet, but 100% I am going to Medieval Times. Oh, I don't know who's going to go with me.
No.
But I'm going, fuck you, you spoil sport. Why don't you want to go to Medieval Times?
It's fake. It's fake news. I mean,
I'll go.
I mean, they pretend to hate each other through the entire time, but they're just good friends in the backstage.
You don't know that. They could really hate each other.
That's true, too. Well, I was waiting for you to like make a tie into theater. Wrestling.
You really hate people.
I don't. Yeah, I've done theater.
Yeah. Sometimes those emotions are a reflection of real drama.
They're in our drama club because we did forensics for it, which is weird. Why is it called forensics when it's in like high school for like kind of like drama and doing plays and that?
Don't know.
Because forensics to me is studying of the dead bodies and ways of things died and such.
April 17th is Dance with the Dead. That's a Friday, so you'd want to take a half day off work just to make sure we get there on time.
but anyway, we got really jealous and annoyed with our school because we had the higher grade for out of our two groups that were competing for in forensics, which is basically for like a small plays and that adaptive plays. And we had the Monty Pythons and the Holy Grail, which we performed. We did like five scenes in it. And then the other group did something. I don't know what it was, but we ended up placing higher in the state competition. And we were not allowed to perform our said skits for our school when they had the presentation day.
I mean, unless you're doing Castle Anthrax, Holy Grail. Oh, okay, that's fine. Because any other scene would be fine.
Yep. Yeah, we had Castle Anthrax in there. Well, because we had two guys and I think three girls in the
sure. You could have done the witch burning and have some of the girls be crowd members.
We did have the witch burning. We had the three headed giant sequence.
Yeah,
which was great. We had.
Did you make the three ladies be the giant together? Or did you mix and match?
I think we mixed the match. Okay. We're inclusive. and then we also did the bridge sequence as well. Silence.
Well, I was looking at the dictionary definition of forensics.
Oh, yeah.
And the version for like speech in school and whatnot comes from the Latin forensis, which means of or belonging to the forum, i.e. public.
Okay.
So it's for public debate and public performances.
Yeah.
So then what the etymology of forensic for, CSI stuff is.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up separately. That gives the same etymology.
Hmm. So why? What? So then why is it considered? Why is it the same then? Why that dip?
I got nothing, boss. I got nothing.
Duck, dip, dive. Dodge, dicked up.
Yeah, I mean, my wife is working on her master's degree in forensic nursing, and there's no skits in that.
it could be when you're trying to explain how things happened. You can adapt a form of Will Ferrell for that forensics speech.
I mean, considering that almost all of her patients are victims of sexual assault or rape, and many of them are minors, the adaptation would not be particularly interesting.
Hooray!
Appropriate.
What's going on?
I wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden, I just heard whatever David was talking about and got horrified.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I give up on trying to get the dictionary to give me a straight answer.
About forensics?
Yeah.
This is one of those things about having a spouse that is in one of those absolutely terrible jobs that people have to do. That, I mean, literally in that line of work, the year-over-year turnover is 50%, is that most people that do it can't actually last a year.
I had a friend who used to debone people.
That also sounds terrible.
Yeah. I mean, they were dead at the time.
Yeah.
But
I would imagine. But
Leslie tries to explain to me her job on her previous job on a regular basis. And I'm like, I don't want to hear this. So she doesn't do it. Well, she does part-time. She did recovery for an eye bank.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And it's exactly what you think it is. Yeah. It's recovery for eyes. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no. No. Mm-mm. But no.
Yeah. Good times.
Love it.
A friend of mine was trying to recruit me for a position at a university in a small town in Minnesota, and I said, I doubt that you have enough sexual assaults in that town for us to move there.
Well, I mean, it's up to the town. They could make it happen.
You know, yeah. There were 1,000 bad jokes that occurred to me. Like, I was going to tell David to be the change he needs to see in the world, and yeah. Don't do that. Don't keep your wife employed.
So I read an article the other day, or I read an article
good
after
for you.
After oh, yeah. after hearing about it on a podcast, and I think we should at least mention part of it. It's about the staircase of wealth and the discrepancy of, like, basically how rich people are and where they are on the staircase of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a guy at work the other day who was saying that all rich people are smart because you can only be rich if you're smart. And, like, me and another person at work couldn't stop laughing at him.
So the staircase of wealth is, just think of it as a staircase, just a normal staircase going up.
Mm-hmm. Is it a spiral?
Nope. It just goes.
Does it have hand railings?
Only after a certain point when you get the hand railings.
Okay, all right.
So half the people in the United States are at the base or at the very first step. Just almost 200 million people who can't even make it, get one step up in the system. That's 200 million. We're 300 million maybe?
And change, yeah.
About 330.
Yep. Those households at the 80th percentile or richer, four-fifths of Americans are on the fifth step. So that's, you know, what we would consider... Five steps up. It's about 5 seconds of walking to get there.
Yeah.
So those with with more money than 90% of fellow Americans, millionaires, who we considered our upper middle class, professional class, and live more comfortably, are on the 11th step.
Sure.
A few more seconds of walking up from the previous middle class step. Most Americans won't even come to close to accumulating this much over an entire lifetime of working.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is at the 90%. A billionaire is 10,000 steps up the staircase.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's enough to walk up 5 Empire State Buildings. That's almost 3 hours of walking nonstop. You think that they care about the petty squabbles of anybody on those first few steps or so?
Yeah.
From those heights, they couldn't tell the difference even if they wanted to.
I mean, that's a big issue with wealth and talking about the economy and the issues with capitalism in America is that people can't even envision a billion as a concept. Like, our brains can't wrap around the concept of a billion. Yeah. Like, the other good one was how long a million seconds is versus how long a billion seconds is.
Correct. Yeah. Well, let me finish here. Jeff Bezos, he is so high, it makes it... it only makes sense to describe that his staircase in the distance. His stairs take him up 133 miles.
Yep.
that's more than halfway to the space station. That's more than 24 consecutive Mount Everest stacked on top of each other. It would take walking nonstop, no sleep, over 2 weeks to ascend to that high. Each single step worth more than 5 poverty-level families in America combined.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
but he earned that money.
He didn't pay taxes on any of it because of fucking loopholes.
Yeah. So this fall, Boston Dynamics started actually selling their quadrupedal robot, and I keep wondering if you could mount a guillotine.
Is it the kind with the grabby hand like neck? Because that's my favorite version of that guy.
No, I mean, this is just like the dog robot, and I keep looking at that and wondering, because it's about the right width, but I'm wondering if it has enough weight capacity to mount a guillotine on the back of it.
Yeah, no, I know the big dog robot, but there was a version that had like...
I think.
Yeah, but there was a version that had like a grasping arm on an articulated mount on top, so that it could like open doors and like bring you things.
Yeah.
And shoot guns. Because that's what I would do with it. You ever see the movie Runaway? That's what would happen. Boston Dynamics.
I know the song Runaway.
No, Runaway. That guy. With
Jesus untight.
Christ.
Yeah.
You know the sounds we make as a culture, that noise we make when we sneeze is entirely culturally based, and it varies depending on where you live. Mm-hmm. There's no actual sound to a sneeze.
Mm-hmm.
True story. But yeah, give me one of those for Christmas. I want a spot.
I mean, the other problem with that is that they're so expensive that Boston Dynamics won't actually tell you how much they cost unless you schedule for a consultation and a quote.
Do I get a free trial run, like if I go to a Ferrari dealership? If you dress nice enough, they let you drive a Ferrari around town.
I don't think it's just the dress nicely either.
I would love to look at a Ferrari.
And then you get to drive it around.
No, I think they would also be checking the labels on your suits, too.
Well, you know, nowadays, .com millionaires don't dress fancy. So really, I should just wear flannel, and then they'll know that I'm rich.
I guess they might think you're from Seattle.
Yeah. Mm. I made a bundle on pets.com.
No, you didn't.
I did. That's why they failed. I made all the money on pets.com.
It's so obnoxious, the whole staircase of wealth thing, though. Is basically pretty much the majority of people are, you know, five steps in, maybe.
Listen, Andy.
3 hours.
If socialism's so good, why does it fail every single time America interferes with it?
Hmm. Also,
name one socialist country where we instigated coups that succeeded in surviving the coups we instigated. Checkmate, libtard.
Yeah. Also, think of all the countries that instituted free healthcare.
If democratic socialism is so good,
how many
good,
times that has toppled that country and that country has gone away? Oh, none of them.
If democratic socialism is so good, why does every country that has instituted top like the civilian satisfaction and quality of living standards? Huh? How about that? I showed you.
I'm going to drink from my McDonald's cup.
Ooh.
Speaking of socialism,
I haven't drunk a soda in like a week.
Uh-oh.
We ran out of soda, and I'm like, you know, I don't drink soda at work just because I have a water bottle there, and I can just refill it and drink it at my cube. And then at home, I have a fridge with a filtered water dispenser, so I could just be drinking that water, and then I don't have to buy soda anymore. And apparently, that's something I'm able to do. And on the way here, I stopped, and I didn't get a soda. Instead, I got...
It's something almost as worse.
Yeah, I got generic Gatorade, which I recalled this being low in calories, but now I look at it and it's like, you know,
no. it's
like Mountain Dew calories.
It's uncarbonated soda.
Yeah.
But
it's from Quick Trip, and everything from Quick Trip is good for you.
It does contain 0% fruit juice.
Well, that's what I want in my juice.
The key words, contains fruit juice. Yeah. If you ignore the percentage, it says contains fruit juice. And those are good words. I actually purposely didn't buy fruit juice, and I bought this instead because I figured it would have fewer calories because fruit juice is actually incredibly sugary.
Womp, womp.
Yeah.
I'm sure it still has fewer calories than the orange juice would have.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, you know.
I mean, of course, that's the problem with how sugar addicted we are is that half the fruit juices are literally like 50% concentrated grape juice because that's the sweetest you can get cheaply.
Oh, Welch's grape juice. Grape or apple. Welch's grape juice is this is the best.
What the fuck was that? Good Lord. You know what? Didn't you brag that we had a topic this week and we're just yammering like imbeciles?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know I wanted to talk about how shitty Age of Sigmar is and how dumb everyone who plays it is, but no. You had a topic first.
No. No, we don't talk about that. No, it was just basically complaining. I'm really getting sick of people complaining about games that they don't even play anymore.
Oh, the irony. What? That I've been hoist by my own petard.
That they don't even play anymore. The thing is, though, you can't complain about Age of Sigmar.
Oh, I definitely can.
You could, but it's not like you've played it before, though. But, I mean, I'm really getting annoyed at the people that just sit around on the forums and just drone on about, like, oh, how this company is failing and blah, 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 and like, this is all crap. I'm getting sick of it.
Okay, so can we talk about loot boxes now?
No.
No, I do love how frequently there's a new post on the War Machine Horde's general discussion, which is like a new player mm-hmm. saying, hey, guys, I was thinking about getting into this game, but I keep hearing that it's dying. It's like, if people would shut the fuck up about it quote, supposedly dying, all these new players wouldn't be scared of it.
I guess it's what I see in our meta for this year is all three of us, Dave plays. I haven't touched the game this year. I don't think you've played at all this year.
Like this calendar year?
Yeah.
This calendar year.
Like the 2 months? No, I have not played this calendar year. I did play within the last year.
But I mean, there's multiple tournaments have been happening every 2 weeks or so, and they're consistently getting 16 to 20 players in.
Yeah, I think the local community is getting we may be getting more games in than we ever have in the past. It's just spread out amongst several days now.
Yeah, I don't know where I need a calendar of where people locally play. Like not because Madison plays like two or three. It plays three different places on like four different nights of the week.
Yes,
and then there's also whatever's going on in like Baraboo or other such places. Mm-hmm. I have no fucking idea where War Machine's played right now.
I mean, that's
I need a guide.
We do need a guy.
Apparently, there was a Stevens Point tournament this last, like yesterday.
Yeah.
What? Nobody told me. Like, it's just all spread out. But that's the issue: is these communities exist. Just need to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be really neat if there was some type of volunteer program where all like heads of these communities could all get together and be in a certain area. Thanks. And
I mean, fuck even that. It would be nice if you used the F word, but it was a lie because you haven't seen anything on the forums because there aren't forums.
Yeah,
you've seen things on random Facebook pages because there isn't a centralized forum anymore.
Yeah,
which is still the most insane. Like, I understood getting rid of the press gang, but killing the forums made no goddamn sense to me.
Steamforge did the same thing too, and it's don't understand. for a place Pegasus at least Privateer is still upholding their forums for rules questions. In that regards, I mean, it's still nobody goes there anyway.
Nobody goes there.
But Steamforge got rid of their forums entirely, and there's no place for any kind of rules questions.
I don't understand why they did it. Like I said, I can understand. There are a dozen different possible reasons to have killed off the press gang. Mm-hmm. I understand those.
Yeah.
But the forum, I just don't get. Like, people volunteer to be moderators, they take care of that for you. You know, it's not like you're getting bad press. Just even if you don't post on your own forums, just like let it be. Have moderators so it doesn't get insane and post there occasionally. Allow the community to use it as a tool.
And that's what the Facebook areas are right now. They're all community moderated. I mean, it's mainly at the direction of Privateer. Privateer could probably go into like the Sigmar forums and say, "Hey, you should probably shut that thread down if you could." But most of the time, people are going to do it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But I just, whatever.
Like I said, it really bothers me when, I mean, it does no help for whatever game you're into is to completely bash the previous game that you're into. Like if you're up and up playing Marvel Crisis Protocol, then you could sing the ideals of that game. But there's no reason to go and talk about how Privateer, oh, they're a third of the size that they were a year ago and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, there's no reason. Just
how many people swore off
Games Workshop?
No, your fucking game. Guild Ball. How many people swore off Guild Ball because of that shit when it first started? Was nothing but ex-War Machine players just literally coming up to tables where people were playing War Machine and taking a shit on top of their models.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, it was insane. Just the venom that these people spewed out and thought that would encourage me to play their game instead.
That was what stopped me from playing any type of Guild Ball for the longest time, is that one week, the weekend at War Machine weekend when Guild Ball was first put in there. I think it was maybe a year after Guild Ball came out, and just had so many people walking by looking at the tables going like, wow, you guys are still playing that game? Well, my game, we only have 6 models. It's so much fun to play.
Well, even that was just talking. Yeah, oh my God, it was so bad. It was so goddamn bad. And it got to the point where people wouldn't even have to be like that, but the association would do it to me. Mm-hmm. Like at Adepticon, I was talking to somebody and I was like, hey, what have you been up to? And she was like, oh, so have you heard about Guild Ball? And immediately was like, fuck it, just shut up. I do not want to hear another word out of your mouth. Yeah. Just because it was so Pavlovian at that point.
It became very toxic just to hear the words itself, yeah.
I mean, it got bad enough that Steamforge had to release a statement to their player base saying, please stop being shitheads.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sad, though. It's like a lot of the people I see on the posts for War Machine are not actually associated with any other game. They're just the barnacles just holding on to the ship. Like, we're sinking soon.
And you're telling me people on the internet are assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, at least we have the last bastion of logic and open-mindedness and calm conversation, which is the old Salts group.
That's kind of what started it.
Yeah.
It's seriously what started it. I'm not even sure if I'm part of their group anymore.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's honest. I mean, just if you don't play the game at all, I mean, seriously, you're doing the gaming community no good by hanging around, you know, just whacking at it. There's just leave. Go play your own game in your own area. I mean, not saying to be separatist, but I mean, it's...
Well, because you're not enriching anyone's lives by being like that.
Correct.
You're not making your life better by, like, you don't feel better when you shit on other people, or at least you shouldn't. And even if it makes you feel better in some sad, pathetic way, you probably feel more better just doing something you enjoy. Like,
yeah.
If you love that game so much, just go play that game.
Exactly.
Instead of shitting on War Machine in the War Machine groups, go talk up Guild Ball in the Guild Ball groups, right?
Yeah.
Which Guild Ball's not that bad anymore. I'm just using it as the example because we were talking about it. But like, use that time in a positive way instead of a negative way, and everyone's going to be happier.
Yeah. I mean, you can go back to the thing of, if you've got nothing to say, nothing nice to say, just don't say anything at all. And like, that would be so much better.
As the meme comic says, shh, let people enjoy things.
Don't yuck another's yum.
Yeah.
Well, because it doesn't, like, what does it fucking affect you, right? Like exaggeration for humor aside, I don't give a fuck if people play Age of Sigmar. It doesn't hurt, like, whatever. Yeah. If I walk into a game store, there's some people over there playing it, okay, I don't care. And why should I? You know, it doesn't hurt me any that they're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, their table doesn't affect my War Machine table next to them. You know, as long as they're not assholes to me and I'm not assholes to them, we can both just find 2 hours of joy in this godforsaken hellhole we call the world.
Yeah.
Like,
I will say the only gaming thing I will shit on is loot boxes because that is an unethical exploitation of.
I will shit on a lot of businesses.
Yes.
But I'm not going to shit on people who play games with loot boxes.
Yes.
Or in a public place. I mean,
right.
Like, yeah. Literally shit on them. Like,
yeah. Well, no. I mean, unless you play Yu-Gi-Oh, you shouldn't shit on the floor of your local game store. That's well known.
Well, you shouldn't do that even if you play Yu-Gi-Oh.
Well, unfortunately, it appears to be a thing that Yu-Gi-Oh players do.
At least Pegasus is now putting in hardwood floor, so the shitting on can be cleaned up easier.
Oh,
don't encourage them.
But yeah, I will talk shit. Like, I will talk shit about GW all day, every day. But people who... inexplicably to me, still buy their stuff, okay, good for them. You know, whatever makes you happy. Although, seriously, the fucking GW just, like, reworked some model that's been out of print for a decade, so now it's broken and you want to spam it, but you literally can't buy it. I was seeing something about that.
I mean, they did. Several years ago.
Not the one that immediately went out of print. That's something that's been out of print already for like years and years. No,
I mean, this is one of my one of my 40K stories is back when I was playing 40K competitively. They changed the rules so the Eldar Wave Serpent became the best troop transport in the game, if not the best vehicle in the game. And then next week they discontinued it. It was just the weirdest thing. Said because it's like everybody was like, oh, Games Workshop changes the rules just to sell models, and then they overpower a model and stop selling it. It's just like, no, I don't think somebody may be trying to do that, but the two hands aren't talking to each other.
It might be something that they have something that's being produced right now for that model that Nathan's looking up right now. But, yeah, I mean.
So, model had rules update that made you want to run three or four of them in one of the top meta-defining lists. The model has been out of print for a decade. To balance the OP model, the largest group running official events, LVO, Adepticon, etc., is requiring you to have the official model, not a conversion. Multiple recasters in China have it available, but GW does not make it anymore.
What is the model?
I don't know.
And I mean, there are also things like that when they, I think one of my favorite cases of that is that when they, one of the Space Marine codices, when it came out, it had the most powerful option for their dreadnoughts was literally guns that weren't in the box and you couldn't order.
Mm. I mean, they not to sit there and make excuses for them though too is, I mean, they had a lot of weapon options for back in Warhammer Fantasy that you couldn't actually equip onto certain things.
Yeah,
like you could have like some skeletons I believe could have halberds or something like that, but they weren't equipped with them out of the box, which required conversions, and that's what the hobby aspect of it. Yeah. The fact that it's not Games Workshop that's invoking the rules where they have to put in the actual model, it's outside sources that are saying that they won't accept them at those tournaments.
Yeah, but it's Games Workshop that revamped their rules so that this model's super good, but they don't even sell it.
No, but they don't sell it, but it may be something that's down in the pipeline, and also maybe something that's similar to what's currently out that would invoke a hobby aspect on it. The fact that like LVO and some of the other tournaments are saying that like you can't have this here, that's not Games Workshop saying that. That's those places saying that.
I mean, this is a problem.
I can't understand having a model in your game. It's your game.
Yeah.
If the model exists, sell the model. Like it's the same thing with Blood Bowl. Like how many star players literally don't exist? You know, they're in the game. There's rules. If there's rules for your model in your game, you should sell the goddamn model. Yeah. I mean, I can't wrap my head around that.
I mean, on the Games Workshop side of things, as Andy has said, there's a much bigger tradition of kit bashing and customizing your stuff. And B, as I said, I honestly don't think the rules people and the model people talk as much as they probably should. Because that is, I mean, traditionally, every Games Workshop kit or every Dreadnought kit I've ever had, I've had to hack stuff together because the rules had several options that just didn't exist on the model.
But at least a Dreadnought existed.
Yeah.
You know, and okay, I need to put a cannon on there. I'll grab a fucking cannon from somewhere and put it on there. But I can't, because how do you Google the thing I just described, right? I'd have to. Yeah. But if it's a model like that just literally doesn't exist.
Was that the one that people were 3D printing all over the place?
Possibly.
Okay. I'd have to. Somebody who is more current into 40K than I would have. But I'm sure anyone who knows 40K knows what I'm talking about and would know off the top of their head.
We can get John DeMaris on the podcast.
Like, there's a difference between like if the Juggernaut model for Kador was sold, and if you wanted a destroyer, you just had to find a cannon and replace its fist.
Yeah.
Sure. That I get. But like if Iris just did not exist as a model but was still legal, so you just everybody on the planet just had to grab a random female elf model, and that's just insanity to me to have no even baseline available standard model for something.
Well, I mean, you heard about the Euro Hermit issue with the War Machine.
Yeah.
That's
but, I mean
very similar issue, I guess, kind of.
Also,
the model did exist, although I guess you could claim that the barrier to purchase it. Yeah. But
one of the reasons for that in 40K is that Games Workshop for a long time, I don't know how they do it now because I haven't really looked at 40K in 6 years. They had a policy that they absolutely minimized how many rules changes there were that weren't in the codex, and so the average lifespan of a codex was about 5 or 6 years, and so they would often release the codex and say, okay, this is the rules until there's a new codex. And so they would have rules for stuff they planned to release but wasn't released yet. But they wanted to get the codex out before releasing all of
that. That's kind of what I was saying, is about that model itself could be something that they're in the process of of retooling a machine to make it again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted,
they have some. It's not just that. I don't think in most cases it's just that they decided. Yeah, we're going to have rules for this and never produce a model. But they had reasons for this. Some of the reasons are dumb, but I think mostly it's just that the people writing the rules and the people writing the rules don't have firm constraints over having to actually follow exactly what is being produced by the company. And often the rules are written before there are final decisions on production.
Yeah,
Again, those are reasons. 40K, not necessarily good reasons. Yeah, but
GW's every decision GW makes ever about everything just doesn't jive with the way my brain works, and never will. They release games that are unplayable on a balanced tournament level. They release rules for models that don't exist. They put stuff out. It's all insanity to me, but their fluff is cool and their models are neat, and so people still play them, and that's fine for those people, as I said. If you enjoy, it doesn't matter if I'm flabbergasted that people have Stockholm Syndrome and continue to give money to a company that is this bizarre with their business practices. If you have fun with it, knock yourself out. I mean, which thing? So, like, chat mentioned that the knows game shop owners that are trashing Privateer Press at their store and in their forums, and that I don't get either. Like, you are trying to make money. Mm-hmm. If somebody's like, "Ooh, I'm going to play War Machine," bashing War Machine is just taking money out of your pocket. Even if you personally love like Guild Ball, to stick with that, you're not necessarily going to talk them into Guild Ball after talking them out of War Machine. So you are gambling right there.
As a store owner, you basically, no matter what your client, whoever comes into your store, whatever they want to buy, you want to be their best friend and help facilitate that purchase. Yeah. Because that way then they would be like, oh, hey, cool, he likes this thing. So then, maybe I'll try out this other thing that he suggested. You know, that's just how you run a store. That's how you stay in business. I remember specifically, I stopped going to it in general because of this incident. I went into Pegasus downtown location when it existed here in Madison, and I was buying some of my chaos, I think of Vampire Accounts or something like that, and the store owner or guy who was working behind the counter was like, oh, I can't believe you're buying this stuff. Why would you want to buy that? You should just get some chaos stuff. It's so much better. I'm like, no, I'm here to buy what I want to buy.
So
don't need to trash me because I'm giving your store money.
There was somebody who used to work at Pegasus who, if you were playing any minis game that wasn't Warhammer or any RPG that wasn't Shadowrun, he would just voraciously shit all over you about how terrible your decisions were because you weren't playing Shadowrun or Warhammer.
No, he didn't. If you were talking about the same person, he didn't like Warhammer.
Was it not Warhammer? I thought that was the thing. But the guy that loved Shadowrun and Twilight Imperium, those were the two things he liked.
Yep.
And when he left, they had to throw away his chair because there were skid marks on it.
Oh, no, that's not the same person I'm thinking of then.
The person I'm thinking of might have the same name as a beloved president or Hellboy's fish friend.
It is the same person then that we're talking about, but I didn't hear about the chair.
Yeah, they had to throw away the chair at the cash register because he left skid marks on it.
I think that's... I don't know how true that is. I mean, we can get a potential
straight from Mi Hermano. I trust really? Mi Hermano.
Jesus Christ! No, that was the same guy who.
But yeah, he was the fucking worst because he was that, and it's like because he wasn't store owner or anything. He was just an employee, and I think it's stuff like that which is why they got rid of him. But it's it does not fucking matter if you hate the thing that person's buying. You smile and talk about how cool it is because, yep. A, it's your goddamn job, and B, it's being a decent human being.
Yeah, yeah. There's no reason to shit over somebody, over something that somebody likes.
Yeah.
And there's just no reason. Like that person over at Pegasus, like one of the last straws was previously to when I complained about that said person. Somebody came in to buy like one of the starter kits or starter sets for 40K, and it's like a $350 like Ultramarine box. You get everything that's for Ultramarines at that point.
Yeah, this person was jumping right into the deep end.
Yeah, he was jumping in $350, and they didn't have it in the store, and the guy didn't want to order it for him. And he told him to just go some other place. I'm like, what?
Wow.
That's like, I don't know what the markup is for Pegasus on that or how much they would get for retail, but that's a $350, a pretty big chunk of change that would look really good between Pegasus and Games Workshop.
Yeah. And even if it wasn't, that's still somebody who then is going to come back to your store to play that game. And then while they're there, they're going to buy other things. And those other things can be more models, but they can also be your freaking candy bars and sodas that you make good margin on because you go and buy them at Woodman's for a nickel.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yep.
Smile, nod, take the customer's money.
Mine was I had I was ordering just like a set of wings. So it was when Games Workshop had the ability to order specific parts off of their site. I don't think you can really do that much anymore. But I was buying some dragon wings and a couple other things. And I had the exact part numbers down, or not the exact part numbers down, but I had the descriptions down. And I was like, hey, could you order this for me? And you're like, nah, I don't got time. Just go get the part numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it'll take you 2 seconds. It's just a pair of wings.
Also, it's literally your job. So yeah. Shut the fuck up and do it.
There are literally too many people who do not realize that Comic Store Guy is not an aspirational character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Comic Store Guy, I mean, he at least owns a shop, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's if you own the shop and you're that asshole, whatever.
No, it's still not aspirational,
but at least then you're only fucking yourself up.
Yeah. Correct.
Right? Like, if you're like Boss Lady running Pegasus was an absolute angel. She's one of the coolest people.
Yeah.
And the $350 that person didn't spend was money not going to her.
Not going to her to pay for his job.
Right.
To pay for rent, to pay for more product that's coming in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a trickle down. Or trickle-up effect, maybe? From the consumer to the store?
Yeah, until he gets fired, it doesn't cost him a nickel that people don't buy money. Like, that's the thing is, he's hourly. So the store could sell not a goddamn thing, and he's making the exact same amount of money.
Yeah,
until the owner can't afford to pay that anymore, and then he's making zero.
Yeah.
And until that whiplash moment happens, it doesn't sink in.
I can't believe the chair with skid marks.
Yeah.
I can't.
They just threw it away.
Oh, my God. That just, oh.
Well, you know.
It's just disturbing.
Well, sometimes you're rocking a little Aztec, and maybe it's a little dirty, and the chair suffers from it.
No.
Enjoy that mental image.
Yeah. I mean.
Also, pull up your pants.
Yeah.
I don't understand how.
Feel free to have your pants low for a stylistic purpose if you then have your underwear pulled up.
Yeah, I mean,
something needs to be covering your butt crack.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really understand the physics behind that, and I don't really want to. I don't want to.
Like, I purposely make sure my shirts, when I have shirts on, if I'm sitting down and you look behind me, you're not going to see my ass crack. I don't understand how people don't notice that themselves. Feel the breeze.
Yeah, well, you know.
Is it cummerbund? Is that what you get? Could we just like make a crippled system cummerbund that's just reverse that just goes over the back?
Sure. Do you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I haven't recently. It's been
They always do the Halloween heists, and they have like a pro wrestling like title belt
okay.
that they give to whoever wins the heist. You know, it's just think full-on WWE thing, except the captain always refers to it as a cummerbund because it's obviously too large to be a belt. So that's the championship cummerbund. So now whenever I see like pro wrestlers with that big thing, my brain's just like, no, that's the championship cummerbund. Like, that's official now. That shit is not a belt.
That's canon in your mind.
Captain Holt is right. No belt is that large. That is obviously a cummerbund. Oh, my Lord. But yeah, unless somebody's like a literal Nazi, just let them do what makes them happy.
If it's not affecting others,
it
doesn't matter. I mean,
ooh, hello. Cummerbund.
There's only one B in that word.
Cummerbund.
God damn it.
It's cummerbund.
Cummerbund.
Yeah.
February. Turmeric. How many R's in turmeric? How many R's in turmeric?
Two.
Yeah, see? Although most people say turmeric. A lot of people silent that first R.
Never trust a man
in
a tunic.
So I make up for it by doubling the B's in cummerbund.
Yeah, it sounds like cummerbund. Yeah, cummerbund. Actually,
it sounds like hummerbund.
Yeah. What is that one where the words change as the more you say it?
I don't know. Yanny and Laurel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can only hear Yanny.
It's a pitch thing. I actually watched a video where they slowed down and sped it up, and at both extremes, it sounded more like Laurel.
Mm.
Or Yanny. Whichever one it doesn't normally sound like. Sure. Yeah. The one that's bullshit is recently there's one going around with trying to replicate the dress thing with a shoe that's either like blue and gray or pink and white.
Mm-hmm.
But the video is or the picture's clearly blue and gray, and you can actually see it. Like, if you put it in Photoshop, it is blue and gray because they actually fucked with the lighting on the camera to make it misrepresent the fact that the shoe is in real life white and pink. And that's completely different. That's not the same thing as seeing the dress or hearing the thing because our bodies are weird. That's just somebody trying to recapture virility. Bullshit.
Okay.
Let virility happen on its own, like the coronavirus.
I don't even like that beer.
Coronavirus leads to Lyme disease, you know, because with the fucking thing in it.
Any beer that you have to add shit to make it drinkable is not worth my time.
You don't even have to. Like I don't know where that came from. I'm not sure when the Lyme aspect with Corona happened, but it wasn't a thing. Like, for the initial lifespan of the beer.
Lifespan? You mean the beer's dead?
No, I said the initial
lifespan. I'm curious to see how much...
What happens after a lifespan?
At the
continued
lifespan?
Continued lifespan.
I'm curious to see...
The initial portion of its lifespan.
If Corona has actually taken a hit to their sales because of the virus, I'm curious to know if that's actually a thing.
Yeah. Ooh, Malort. It should be a Malort virus.
I'm actually wondering because maybe it could be a drop. It could be an increase as people hear it's like, oh, they're talking about the coronavirus. Yeah, I want a beer now. No. I mean, just that subconscious thing. Maybe it could be beneficial.
I would drink anything other than Corona, though. It's just a shit beer. Sorry to folks out there that enjoy a Corona, but I do not enjoy it, and therefore going against everything we just talked about, shitting on the things that other people like.
Yeah. So, whatever bloats your goat, man.
I bought a case of Miller Lite because my father-in-law was coming for Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then New Year's. They were coming to visit
some
portion of those. And so the point is he only drank like one each of the times he visited. So I was left with like 21 Miller Lights. So finally I was like, I guess I'll start drinking these. And they're fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with a light beer if all you want is a light beer.
This is a perfectly... Pilsner. It's way better than those goddamn coffee tasting roasted $20 bottles of fucking stout that people try to give to me at conventions. They try to trade a perfectly good Spotted Cow for this overpriced garbage coffee ground tasting shit that claims to be some chocolate malt Pilsner draft something or another, and they all taste like shit. They all taste like eating coffee grounds.
I mean, I'll still take the overdone stouts over IPAs any day of the
week.
Well,
sure. An IPA tastes like rimming an angry skunk, as I've said before, and I'll say again. It's the fucking worst.
I mean, I will say that I'm normally not a fan. So I'll take it back.
I won't badmouth other people's enjoyment unless it's they're a Nazi or they're drinking IPAs. Those are the two things I will not stand for.
Well, I mean, okay.
Are we going to have a t-shirt that has like the tour of Crippled System, the things we do not like, Nazis, IPAs, rimming skunks?
Well, why did you list IPAs twice?
Why did I
skunks are IPA flavored and not the other way around.
Why did I list Nazis three times?
So we can shit on people enjoying IPAs because that leads to a place that you go to a bar that says they have 20 beers on tap and half of them are fucking IPAs.
Yeah, because IPAs are just a way to disguise low quality beers because you just make them taste sour as fuck and it's like, oh yeah, you can't tell that it tastes like shit because you tell yourself it's supposed to taste like shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally why there are so many of them, because it's the easiest style to brew, because all you do is put more hops in it, and you can't tell that the brewer doesn't know what the fuck they're doing.
It's like overly hot food. Like, you can't get the flavor right, so you just dump a metric ton of capsaicin in there until it's just super hot, and you claim that's what you were aiming for.
Our head brewer labored many hours with explosive diarrhea over the can, and we just added 5 metric tons of hops to it, and there we go. We've got his dankest majesty.
It's similar to like, and people always be like, well, you just haven't had a good IPA. No, I haven't had a good IPA because there aren't any good IPAs, dickhead. And similarly, so a while ago, I had my like one. When there's something popular that I absolutely despise, every once in a while I like to try it again to remind myself that, no, I'm right. This tastes like shit.
You know? I've done that before. Yeah.
So like a couple weeks ago, I was at Vintage having dinner with a buddy of mine who was visiting, and I bought myself a goddamn Bloody Mary. And it's the fucking worst. Bloody Marys are hot garbage. I don't know how people like them, why it's people like it.
It's an alcoholic glass of tomato soup.
No,
I don't know what the
because
fuck
they
want
dump weird spices in there, so it doesn't even taste like good tomato soup. It tastes like this weird watered-down tomato soup with bad-tasting hot sauce in it, and then it's watered down and cold, and then it has like 30 random vegetables floating. And all I did was I ended up paying $8 for a pickle spear and an olive because that's all I could salvage out of the damn thing. They're fucking terrible. And every time you tell that to people, they're like, well, most places make them bad. You got to get them where they're done good. If it's bad most of the time, that means it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the majority is shit, it's shit.
To be honest,
you're finding the exception to the rule, not the rule.
I think if I really wanted a Bloody Mary, and I don't really want one, but if I really wanted one, I'd want one without all the shit in it. Give me a celery spear, and that's basically it. That's all you need in
Give me a beer.
Not a light beer though.
Yeah, give me an old fashioned. Give me Long Island iced tea. Give me any cocktail.
Actually, I would probably take rather than a Bloody Mary, anything with gin in it. that's the worst too.
I do hate gin less than I hate Bloody Mary. I'll tell you that.
I mean, I agree with that.
There's so many decent cocktails. Why the fuck are you drinking this abomination?
Well, I will say one thing about IPAs is that there were a few decent IPAs 20 years ago before they became the most popular thing, and it's just that all of the new IPAs are almost exclusively all terrible.
Sure. I mean, that's possible, right? It's like I can't think of an analogy.
Sierra Nevada IPA, which has been around for 40 years, is a decent beer. But then it's all of the Imperial IPAs and horseshit like that that came after it. That it's just that, oh, we don't know how to brew shit, so we're just going to pile more hops in.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had what's considered pale ales being decent. I've had some that have been decent, but it's definitely not a road I like to travel down at all.
I mean,
remotely.
Yeah, the New Glarus Pale Ale, they don't even call it an IPA, is a decent
Moon Man,
yeah.
Yeah, that's technically a pale ale.
Yeah.
But that's a PA, not an IPA. Maybe the I is what makes all the difference.
Oh.
It's similar to like a mediocre barbecue place that just dumps a fuck ton of sauce on top so you can't tell that they didn't do their meat right.
Yeah.
Good barbecue doesn't even need sauce.
I like...
Little sauce for flavor, you know? It shouldn't be soup. You shouldn't be eating a spoonful of sauce with a tiny bit of brisket floating in it.
Mm. Yeah.
You are Nazis with your IPAs. And that's our announcements.
So I saw that you were watching, as I was watching, the XFL.
Yeah. Yes. Did you watch the XFL at all, David?
I didn't realize it was on. I didn't realize it was a thing this year until it popped up on Reddit. 4 games a weekend.
Yeah, I forgot to watch it this weekend.
It's better. It's so
much better. That last time it was a dumb gimmick. It was attempting too much to be like WWE and not enough to be like an actual sport. This time it's so much more legitimate. Mm-hmm. The rules changes from NFL to XFL are way more interesting. I still wish they were going with the kickoff version. I can't forget the name, but the one basically whatever team is kicking off gets the ball on their own 35 and it's like 4th and 20. So if they want to go for it, they can. So that's kind of equivalent to going for an outside kick where you have an opportunity to keep it if you want to risk it.
Oh, sure.
But whatever. So the kickoff thing's kind of funky, but a lot of the other rules make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, I like the presentation. The first week, they were really, really into getting what the coaches were mic'd up to being.
Yeah.
The second week, it felt like just a little bit less of that. So it wasn't like five people talking at the same time. When are we gonna go see our number one team? Because it's the only fucking team in the center of the goddamn U.S.
Yeah,
you're in the St. Louis Battlehawks.
First week, they were the only away team to win.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were the only away team to win the first week.
They were talking that the Battlehawks basically have the highest fan base because there's no other. All the other teams are on the coasts.
Yeah.
I'm interested in going to check it out.
Although I do like the Wildcats logo.
I mean, also, I mean, if you put a football team in St. Louis that now a city that now hates the NFL, I'm sure they're going to do fine.
I do think mathematically it has to be best to go for two every time. I feel like that's got to have the highest expected return on value
for in the XFL.
Yeah,
not the NFL.
Not the NFL. The NFL is much more
easy shoe-in point.
Yeah,
literally,
maybe.
It's a shoe-in because it's just a kick.
People miss. People miss.
Not as much as the current two-point conversions.
But do they miss? So the thing is, if you make, let's say you make 96% of extra points, that divided by two is 48, right?
Which is so very
if you make 49% of go for twos, it's still better to go for two every time. Now, obviously, that changes. If it's a tie game with no time left, you go for one, you just win, right? Obviously. But expected value return, there's math to be crunched there. But in the XFL, you run a play from the you run a play from the 2.5 for 1 point, from the 5 for 2 points, or for the 10 for 3. And the size increase from the 5 to the 10 is obviously way bigger than from the 2.5 to the 5. And I feel like that 9 foot or that 7.5 foot increase is way worth doubling it. There's no way that you fail twice as often from the 5 as from the 2.5. I really feel that. Like somebody else would have to crunch the numbers, but my gut tells me going for two is the mathematical best option.
Well, in the NFL, probably about half of the team should be going for two almost every time.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, if you have a good short yardage back, a power running back, you should probably be going for two most of the time.
Sure.
It's just that there are some unfortunate perverse incentives for coaching decisions because. If a coach calls a risky play like that, even though it's mathematically the correct choice, if they fail, they will get called out for it, and it reflects poorly on their career, even if they made the correct decision.
I don't think it matters for the XFL here because it's mainly just a lot of coaches that either are past their time or are just. It really honestly feels like it's literally their slogan, which is for the love of the game, which is actually we like playing.
I mean, honestly, if it survives, it's probably going to be effectively a developmental league for the NFL.
Yeah. Which even the announcers were talking about that. Like when they're talking about the good players, they're like, this is some guy who wants to move on to the NFL, so he's really trying to, you know, whatever. It's like they know what it's all about.
Yeah.
But to your point about the choice making, even if it's the right thing. So John Boyce, who I've talked about many times on this podcast because he's fucking amazing, he had one of his videos on Chart Party was the search for the saddest punt ever.
Oh, that was an amazing
video. It's an amazing video. And he goes over all these punts and when these decisions were made, and he goes over the math over, like, this person punted here and the expected return, and this is why it was a terrible idea, and this, blah, blah. But then he went at the end. He's like, these are the 10 worst punts mathematically. Like, they should not have done a punt. It would have been better to do just anything to else, to go for it, to kneel on it, to purposely just hand the ball to the other team. Like, mathematically speaking, literally any choice but punting was the better thing to do in these, like, 10 things. And in all 10 games, they ended up winning. So even though they did the wrong thing, it ended up being right, air quotes. And so Dave and I had a big disagreement about this because what's the right thing in the moment is always the right thing in the moment. You're not allowed to look at what happened afterwards. But on the other hand, you know, if I have the choice of the one card that's face down in front of me or the 51 cards you're holding and I'm looking for the ace of spades, it's obviously the right choice to pick your 51 cards, except for if you have the ace of spades. So if you choose your card, you're an idiot and you're dumb and you're wrong until you flip it over and it's the ace of spades and then you chose right.
Then you're a mastermind.
But you didn't choose right. You chose wrong. You provably chose wrong even though you chose right. And so that's the weird disconnect on those things. And so that's, even though it's right, you could have a team that going for two, they're successful two-thirds of the time. Mm-hmm. And the one-third that they fail, people will still say, you dumb idiot, dumb dummies, you shouldn't have gone for it. And it's like, yes, we should have.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like that 4th and 26. Anybody who's a Packer fan, they know exactly what 4th and 26 is. 4th and 26.
And,
hey,
and
diddle diddle, Ray Rice up the middle.
Jerry Rice dropped that ball, I will also say, about a different play that knocked us out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
He did not complete that fucking pass. Are you kidding me?
Although that was the 4th and 26, I saw it after the fact that it's like that he was stopped about a yard or a couple of feet in front of the line, and he shouldn't have gotten the first down. But anyway.
Whatever. Whatever. But yeah, the XFL is surprisingly decent, and they've got a lot of, like, kind of more subtle things they do, like their clock rules are very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They have a ref on the field whose only job is to spot the ball. Like, he's not even allowed to call penalties.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because he has the ball and he's right there, so there's no, like, tossing the ball to the sidelines. There's no markers. Like, that guy's just watching the ball and placing the ball so the plays can immediately go. And to encourage that kind of no-huddle, keep it moving, they have mics not only in the quarterback's helmet but also, like, the wide receivers and the tight end so that the coach can be – that's all really interesting stuff that keeps it moving.
It's overall – I mean, it's –
Also, to answer Chad, I have no idea how the XFL handles the national anthem because I've not watched the first 5 minutes of any games.
No, I've always forgotten about the
game. I always like, hey, XFL's on, and turn it on.
Yep, same. But, I mean, even it's just – it's less about fighting with the NFL this time around because last time it was like, hey, we're the new kid on the block. Watch us, blah, blah, blah. The NFL sucks.
I don't think you're ready to handle this, grandma.
Yeah, it's really less about that and more of just like, hey, we're doing football too.
Yeah, which is great. You do football too.
Yep. and I've been enjoying it. I've been seriously thinking about, because games are on Saturdays, if there's a Battlehawks game on a Saturday, we could easily road trip down to St. Louis, have some amazing barbecue. Nathan doesn't think it's amazing, but I think it's amazing.
I think it's amazing. It's just as amazing as barbecue always is. It's just as amazing as Famous Dave's. But, it's just as amazing as Dickie's.
But we can go down there, have some barbecue, watch a Battlehawks game in the evening or in the afternoon, and then stay down there and then come back on Sunday. It's a perfect weekend.
At the Piggly Wiggly deli counter, they have barbecue that you can take home and microwave to heat it back up. That's just as amazing as the Sugar Fire stuff.
Oh, my God.
I love barbecue.
Your statement of saying that you love barbecue, that can sit there like that. The comparisons to other places' barbecue,
yeah,
you can get into fights.
Yeah. There was a place in Dallas I went to once that was super good. And it wasn't even Texas-style barbecue. It was like St. Louis-style barbecue.
Sure.
And it was I left a Yelp review that said, if you don't come to this restaurant, you're a fucking moron.
How do you spell come?
You don't come at this restaurant. But yeah, I literally put you're a fucking moron in there. I don't know if they allow those to stay up. I hope they do. But that was my whole review. It was like, if you're in Dallas and you don't come to this restaurant for barbecue, you're a fucking moron.
So Austin, I guess, has also got a bunch of good barbecue places. And the Rooster Teeth guys had like a tour, kind of like right before their big convention event down there. They had a tour of like telling you what barbecue places to hit up. And I watch that every year, wishing I'd go down to Texas again. I only spent two Austin's years nice in Texas. City. Yeah. I didn't like Texas that much.
I got family in the Houston area.
Yeah, I can't watch King of the Hill because it is way too goddamn close to Texas.
Yeah, I've got family in Texas, too.
Oh, it's shivering how close that show is to a documentary.
That show's so good.
I'm hoping that our Texas friends won't take that as an insult because
The
show is really good, but yeah.
God, I love King of the Hill. It is such a good show. It's one of the best sitcoms ever. Start to finish. That show's amazing. Every character's amazing. Cotton Hill, great. I know Andy doesn't like Peggy, but Peggy's amazing.
No.
She's such a moron. her bad English that she's or bad Spanish that she's so overly confident about.
I might look at the show a better light now, but I mean, like right after I got out of the army, I could not handle that show at all.
Good stuff.
Zappity.
Yeah, I think we have some of those, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
They were on the book faces.
I did not see.
Yeah, they were on the book faces. There's one from Jim. He left one, and then some other guy left one, and then I think there was a third one that somebody else left.
So helpful.
The Jim one, I think I even remember. It was what story had characters making the best decisions with the information they had at hand, even if that information and those decisions ended up being wrong. Right? Something like that?
Yeah. What story has the best use of characters make logical decisions with information they have at hand, even if the choices they make are wrong? I mean, that's the thing that we see in movies all the time.
I mean, isn't that just kind of a description of Romeo and Juliet?
No. Everything they do is dumb and stupid from start to finish. There's not a single... Did you hear the same question? I don't think there's a single logical decision in Romeo and Juliet. The only part is when they're both dead because they're idiots and now they're dead and nobody has to suffer from their stupidity anymore.
That's fair.
God, I fucking hate those hormonal, horny morons who get innocent people killed just because they want to smash their genitals together. Fuck Romeo and Juliet. God damn it.
I mean, yeah.
They were the cats of Shakespeare's day. I don't even know what that means. What were you going to say, Andy? The thing about movies and things?
Well, I mean, it's like zombie movies and that. Things that you see that the characters can't see or have any idea about.
But they still do dumb shit like breaking, like, you know, splitting up and everything like that.
Yeah. I wonder if that, yeah.
See, the one I thought of, and people shit on it because the evidence... The show had a formula, and the formula was dumb, and they always pulled things out of their asses.
Two and a Half Men?
And they were all... No.
I do my best to try to derail Nathan, and I think I hit a nerve on that one.
Anyway, I was going to say House. The new information is always pulled straight out of the show's ass, but whenever they get new information, they will always make decisions and actions based on the information they have, and then it turns out they get new information, so that it was wrong, but it's interesting to see the change in tactics each time they have a new theory.
Speaking of House, have you watched Avenue 5 yet?
No, I know I should, because I heard it's good.
It's not that great in ratings-wise, but I'm enjoying it.
Adam said it was the funniest thing he'd seen in a long time.
It's House in Space, yeah. And he is excellent. Sorry.
I don't know. Yeah, House is mine as far as, like, every time they had information, they made decisions that did make sense based on the information.
You can go with Breaking Bad as well for just about every decision that Walt makes. In hindsight, was a bad decision. Sure. But at the moment, shooting the kid, them shooting the kid that saw the them at the train tracks, that's basically what sent Jesse off the edge.
Man, losing his temper with Mike sure was dumb.
Yeah, you don't cross Mike at all.
Well, I mean, he was fine after that because there wasn't any more Mike.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah. Later and later in the series, he made worse and worse decisions. But early on, you could kind of understand why he was doing the things he was doing. So Walter White made decisions that were understandable. Heisenberg didn't.
Yeah.
And where those two shifted is the eternal question.
I love that show.
It's a good show. I need to watch El Camino. I haven't watched El Camino.
El Camino's good.
I've heard it's got Skinny Pete in it.
It does have Skinny Pete in it. It also has Badger.
Oh, man, Badger's good stuff.
Yeah.
Skinny Pete, actual pianist. Trivium.
Mm-hmm.
Zappity.
Is that it? Rumble. Zappity? Crumble?
I don't know. If David had a better answer than Romeo and goddamn Juliet.
No.
Sean asks, that's the IPA of answers.
Okay.
Sean asks an odd question.
Although I will say, I should point out that's the plot of Romeo and Juliet. I'm not saying whether the plot itself is dumb or not, but that's kind of the point of it. Why it's a terrible story.
Wait, what's the point of it? That they make stupid decisions? Or that they make good decisions.
Or that they, that is the finale of it, is that they make bad decisions with wrong information.
Well, the question is making good decisions with information.
Oh, with good decisions. Okay.
Yeah, the question was good decisions.
Logical decisions also.
Yeah, it was saying
logical.
Even if the decision turned out to be wrong retroactively, at the time, it was a logical choice.
Okay.
Which is why I was so horrified that you came out with Romeo and Juliet. All right, good. Now I understand where you came from, and now hopefully you understand why I was horrified at your statement.
All right, so Sean asks, I'm wondering if he means cheese.
Nope, ask it how Tim it's written. Tams?
He said chess or Tim Tams, and I would say Tim Tams.
Over chess?
Over chess.
What kind of chess? I love Chinese chess. Yeah, I'm up to five Chinese chess boards.
I can't eat it.
You could. You can eat anything if you are dedicated enough.
That's true. It may or may not kill you, but you can eat anything.
Everything is edible.
My choice would actually be not chess or Tim Tams. I would choose Cheds.
I'll take chess.
I think Cheds over Tim Tams?
Oh, fuck yes. Oh, fuck yes.
I'd take Tim Tams over Cheds, if that were the question.
Over Cheds?
Yeah.
I'm almost willing to bet you that's what he did.
I guarantee it's what he meant, because that's callbacks. But if you broaden it and it is chocolates or salty snacks, I'm taking chocolates.
Yeah.
No, I take Cheds. There's nothing that comes out of Australia that's more enjoyable to me than Cheds.
Oh, they got some good cocaine, though. I don't know if your dealer has...
I haven't tried the snow from Australia yet.
No. I'm going Tim Tams.
Tim Tams, they're just... Meh.
How dare you?
Yeah, just meh.
No.
Yeah, just meh.
Well, I mean, that's kind of my thought on Cheds.
Stop shitting on the things I
like. You're shitting on everything! I didn't say anything bad about Cheds. I just said I preferred Tim Tams. You're the one being all shitty.
No. I just said meh. I just, you know. Meh.
You enjoy your IPA of cheese crackers.
Oh. There's no hops in Cheds at all.
No, they disguise it with too much Cheds powder.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening.
I'm going Tim Tams.
Zappity.
Cheds. If I have to make a choice between chess or Tim Tams, I would choose Tim Tams.
I don't know. Chad says Nathan is correct. I think it was from three questions ago, but it's still there. Cumberbund.
Yeah, Cumberbund. Exactly.
Benedict Cumberbund.
Yeah. Zavity. Grumble. Any tabletop game that you would like to see done as a video game? let me say, done well. Nothing like that War Machine debacle.
Can we have a do-over on War Machine?
I think they
remember
just
that initial video they had?
Initial video, I should just go to that. Yeah. Give me Stryker running around with his fucking kick-ass sword, stabbing Kador Jax in the head. And
basically God of War, but as a
God of War with War Machine would be so fucking awesome. Not to say tactics. I don't think tactics is really that bad. I think they dreamt a little big for that. Because the actual gameplay wasn't bad. It was really more the cut sequences. And
I feel like they switched from the God of War version to the XCOM version mid-stream. And so there wasn't enough time. Mm-hmm. Like another year in development, War Machine Tactics probably would have been great.
Yeah.
But it was very half-baked when it was released.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It took a while for them to get the interface down to actually be a really nice, workable interface. Yeah, the God of War Machine would have been so sexy. Anyway, we're talking about other miniature games.
Well, they said tabletop game.
So yeah. I was going to say Gloomhaven because I know they are working on a computer game for it. But
I thought they were just doing like a computer version of the board game.
Yeah, it's a computer version of the board game, mm-hmm. and I haven't actually picked it up yet because they only have like a quarter of it implemented so far.
Well, but if they broadened like 40... it to have like almost like a Neverwinter Nights, but in the Gloomhaven, although that's what Gloomhaven is, I guess. So that's the issue with that board game.
Well, honestly, I would just like to have a cooperative game like that that is not MMO level time sync that I can play with friends and spouse and stuff like that.
Something like Gloomhaven, if you're going to convert over the direct game itself over into there, that could work out fairly well because you can choose any time to stop off. You don't have to finish an encounter. Everything would be saved up to that point.
Well, if you have a table that and you don't have cats, you can do the same thing with the board game.
Yeah.
Well, no, what you could do is you can get the table that's on the table because that's a smart business decision that I see everywhere.
I
fuck that
it
thing.
Already had video game versions or the Dune. We need a new Dune video game. Okay. The RTSs back in the 90s were amazing, but we need them again. Because it was like StarCraft, except you could throw thumpers over there so sandworms would eat the other person's armies, and that was great.
Could Blizzard handle the reforging of that?
Yeah.
Dune Reforged?
Oh, yeah. Warcraft 3. It's not reforged. What's the joke word that people
refunded.
Are using? Was it refunded?
Yeah, the website is actually Warcraft 3 refunded.
God.
I mean.
God damn it, Blizzard.
So as it turns out, if you chase off all of your developers, the quality of your output goes to shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they still have the decent players in Overwatch and that in retail WoW. They still have those, but yeah, you don't promise a game like Warcraft 3 Reforged and then produce what they produced.
Hey, those trailers looked great.
The trailers look great. Hey, you know what is also really good in a Reforged type thing? StarCraft. StarCraft's new versions looked pretty darn good.
I am agreeing with Jim that the not just God of War style, if War Machine was Dynasty Warrior style.
Mm. Yeah.
So in addition to running around as the Warcaster and smashing people, there are thousands of long gunners and warjacks and shit running around with you.
Even in that trailer sequence where they showed you, you can look this up on YouTube, but they showed you a spot in there where I think it was Stryker had then gone into the mind of like one of his warjack or one of what's the big gun?
You could hot swap between
Defender.
Yeah, you could hot swap between the caster and their jack for direct control.
Oh, it's just so cool.
Also, fuck the haters. The Dynasty Warrior games are great, not counting 9.
Jim loves 9. Jim Sterling loves the newest Dynasty.
He loves
9 Warrior.
Like I like IPA. but yeah, and even the spin-off ones like freaking Hyrule Warriors, come on. You get to play as Tingle.
They're fine.
You're not as Tingle, just murdering hundreds of people.
But no, like, to be honest with you, really the big thing about seeing those, and even seeing 40K stuff, though, too, is seeing the tabletop miniatures moving in real life. Like, the first time I ever saw a Juggernaut actually animated and walking around and smashing things, it looks so cool. Like, even in the 40K videos of where you see... There was like a battle between some dark angels and some orcs over like a hill or something like that. Like, I thought that that would be like what should be on every monitor in a game store to get you into the game.
Yeah.
Just seeing like a dreadnought walking around smashing orcs and then seeing orcs fly around with giant guns and flamethrowers. It looks
the Dawn of War.
The Dawn of War trailer. Yep.
Yeah. And it was Blood Ravens, not Dark Angels.
Whatever.
And oh my God, the memes that spawned from that game.
Oh, really? Yeah. It just, oh man, just seeing those things in animation just looks really cool.
Well, that, I mean, Dawn of War 2 wasn't as good, but Dawn of War 1 was maybe my favorite RTS. Mm. And a lot of it was just how much character the game had. And part of it was, yeah, it's like because you had the animation of the dreadnoughts, and they did it so well, and the voice acting was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
More importantly, Andy, possibly David, but this is more of an Andy thing.
Uh-oh.
Did you see the voice cast for Masters of the Universe?
I saw that Mark Hamill is playing Skeletor.
This voice cast, like rivals the new Dune as far as how did they get this many people into this?
All right. Name the actor, and I will see if I can name.
Okay, so
name the character.
We'll go through these. So you already mentioned it, but just for completion for the listeners, Mark Hamill.
As Skeletor.
Leon Cunningham.
I don't know who he is.
He is the
this is a great start to the
from Game of Thrones. He was the Onion Knight, the guy who's knuckle.
Oh.
Davos.
Oh, he's fucking man at arms.
He's fucking man at arms.
Easily.
Chris Wood. I don't know if you know who Chris Wood is.
Don't know who Chris Wood is.
Well,
either.
That's because he's just a pretty boy, so he does Prince Adam and He-Man.
Okay.
Diedrich Bader. He playing two characters.
Diedrich Bader. Oh, yeah. He's the crazy guy, the Frenchy guy from Third Rock.
No. Diedrich Bader is from the Drew Carey Show. He was the neighbor in Office Space.
Oh, yes, oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. He was also friends with Ryan Stiles.
So the one you'll never guess is he's doing King Randor.
Diedrich Bader is doing
King Randor, but he's also doing one of the evil henchmen.
Triclops.
Nope.
Beastman?
Nope. He was Trapjaw. Move along. Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Well, obviously it's probably Teela. Or the princess.
I don't know who Steven Root is, but Steven Root is...
Steven Root? He's the guy from Office Space as well. He was the...
Oh, shit, that's who that is. The pictures don't look like him. All right, Steven Root.
Yeah. Is he good or evil?
He's good.
He's good. He's Battle Cat?
He is Cringer. He is Cringer. Good job. Alicia Silverstone.
She's a little bit older now. I would say she's the sorceress or Evelyn.
She's Queen Marlena.
Oh, count, whatever. Prince Adam's parents don't count.
All right, well, we're done with those assholes. Jason Mewes. Also note that we have all these actors so far. Like, these are all great people. Jason Mewes?
He's got to be probably Orko and some shit.
Oh, he's Stinkor.
Oh, really? Well, I don't think I've ever heard Stinkor's voice.
Well, apparently he's Jay. Tony Todd, a.k.a. Yep, Candyman.
Yep. Is he a villain?
I'm assuming as much. I don't recognize the guy he is.
Maybe Triclops.
No, because I recognize Triclops. He's Scareglow.
Scareglow? Oh, Scareglow is like one of the last of the toys to come out.
Gotcha.
He basically looks like Skeletor, but he actually glows in the dark.
Yep. And he looks more skeletal. Like, he doesn't actually have, like, a human body like Skeletor does.
It's a really cool-looking figure. It was, like, one of the last pieces to create for the Masters of the Universe.
Harley Quinn Smith?
That's his daughter, so yeah. I think we haven't mentioned Teela.
Yeah, we did. Teela was Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Sarah Michelle Gellar. Okay, yeah. Evelyn, then.
Nope.
No? What other female characters are there in He-Man?
Elena? Must be some princess or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. Fine, fuck it. Now we're going over here. Kevin Conroy.
We got Batman.
Yeah, we have Batman as...
Is he going to be just Castle Grayskull?
Nope, he's Merman.
He's what?
Batman's doing Merman. Lena Headey.
Lena Headey, great character from Dread, also from the Game of Thrones as well.
Yes.
Well, she's. I keep on every single female character I've been pointing to is Evil Lyn.
Yeah.
So Lena Headey has got to be Evil Lyn.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Obviously, she's Evil Lyn. This one's cool, which is Alan Oppenheimer is in it.
Alan Oppenheimer, I know that name.
You might know him from doing the voices of Cringor, Man-at-Arms, and Skeletor in He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Oh, the original series?
Yes! So he's in it as Moss Man.
Oh, okay.
You have...
Are they going to just cover over the whoever did the voice of Beast Man with some moss?
no. So then we have Phil LaMarr.
Phil LaMarr from Mad TV fame.
Yeah. He's Hero? I don't know Hero. It's
Hero. Hero is, I think, the space version of He-Man.
Well, apparently Phil Lamar's voicing him. Right. Henry Rollins is in it.
Oh, man, he does not get enough credit for with the movie where he died.
Where he didn't die. That's the whole point of the movie.
What is the name of the movie,
though? Never died.
He never died. Yes. Fucking A, that movie is so goddamn good. You should watch it.
It's nowhere near the level of his performance as...
Beastman.
Triclops.
Oh, he's Triclops?
He's Triclops.
I'm running out of characters.
You're running out of characters, so you got limited. There's only six more to go.
Uh-oh.
This is the first person who I actually don't recognize, Susan Eisenberg.
Probably like maybe related to an Jesse Eisenberg.
Maybe. But she's a character you actually already guessed.
We already went over all the female characters.
You guessed one, but they weren't yet somebody who played that character.
We already had Evelyn.
No, she's Sorceress.
Oh, Sorceress. Yeah. Oh, okay.
The other person you guessed was Sorceress was actually Queen Marlena. And then you were like poo poo to Prince Adam's parents.
Yeah, fuck them.
Our boy Justin Long.
Justin Long.
Remember when he was a Mac? I'm a Mac, I'm a PC commercials.
Oh, Justin Long?
Justin Long.
They're going to have Orko.
But he's not Orko.
He's not Orko.
He's,
is he good or bad?
I don't know.
I'd ask you to name the...
He's Roboto.
Roboto? Oh, he's kind of a bad guy, kind of a good guy.
See, so, it wasn't that I didn't know the character, it's that it was so, nebulous of an answer.
Roboto was a really cool character because he had gears in him. When you move around his waist, his gears in his chest would move.
So I don't know if you'll recognize this actor's name, Griffin Newman?
No.
He's Arthur in the most recent Tick.
Okay, yep.
So... Come on.
Is he a good guy or bad? Orko?
He's Orko.
Okay.
There's your Weasley sidekick right there. He's Orko.
He's even typecasted in animation.
Kevin Michael Richardson.
Yeah. Why do I know that name? What's he from?
Well, the picture they have is of him doing the Joker in something that Mark Hamill wasn't the Joker. But he's just a voice. I shouldn't say just. That's rude. But he's a voice actor. So it's one of those people you don't necessarily recognize their face.
And you don't recognize the villain or hero, the name?
I recognize the villain. Yeah.
The villain?
It's also someone you've already guessed.
Beastman?
It's Beastman.
Okay.
And then we have Tiffany Smith as Andra, and then Cree Summer as Priestess, which I guess Priestess must be a new character because they just have a question mark instead of a picture of the character.
Let me see the whole list there.
That was the whole list. We just went through the whole list for our viewers' pleasure and convenience. But that is a fuckload of, the hits keep on coming. And I know some of them are has-beens. Like, it's probably not that hard to get, Sarah Michelle Gellar anymore. But still, that's an impressive list of people.
Oh, fucking A. Liam Cunningham. I'm actually pretty surprised that I was able to get, I'd say, a majority of
you
them.
You got a good
correct.
Chunk of those right.
Fucking Batman as Merman? No, yes, that one doesn't
Batman
make sense.
Batman as Merman.
I hope he does his voice better than I do.
I hope Merman just talks like Batman. to answer chat, this is cartoon.
Yeah, there is a live action. I think Netflix took over the production for the live action version of He-Man as well.
Tiffany Smith, I don't know who she is, but she looks familiar. I think because she looks a lot like, I'm blanking on her name, but the lady who played Yennefer in the live action Witcher series.
So as being, I know that this is getting way off topic and we're not even remotely done with our Zabbity Grumbles. As somebody who is not familiar with the entire Witcher world at all, I had no idea about the world. I watched the series, And I was sitting there thinking throughout the entire beginning of the series of like, wow, Nathan was just a really nice person for rooting for Yennefer. I have no idea that, you know, because she in the series is basically a hunchback.
Yeah. She is a hunchback.
And she changes from that, but I had no idea that the Yennefer was. I was only aware of names.
Yeah,
I was only aware of Triss, I believe.
Yep,
Yennefer, Geralt, what? The Witcher,
Geralt. Geralt.
Sorry, I was adding some French pronunciation to his name.
Yeah.
But I was only familiar with those, and I was sitting there thinking, I was like, well, I know partially from the games, that from what people have talked about it, he's trying to get into a relationship with these characters.
So, you know, it's like, you know, I'm rooting for Geralt to hook up with that hunchback girl.
Yeah, I was like, wow, well, that's really nice of Nathan. That. I mean, I thought, you know.
I do love, you know, spoilers, but that when they complete their sorceress training, they are able to reshape their body to the physical form that they want. Mm. And they announce that they're going to do that. And then the very next thing you see is Sabrina, one of her classmates, with just massive tits.
Oh, I didn't even catch
the
that.
The very first shot, it's her like bowing at a dance, and she's just got these giant Dolly Parton tits hanging out. And I just loved how petty of an improvement that was. Like, Yennefer's undoing this deformity and everything like that. And Sabrina, you just know she went into the room, she's like, I want big old titties. I laughed so hard.
The only thing I wish that show had, and we should probably go down like an episode where we talk about the Witcher show, because I think it'd be an interesting topic.
Such a good show.
It needed timeline titles. It needed there was a lot of I think they were really trying to go for like the Westworld thing. It's like, what timeline are we actually in? Let you figure it out. And I think it would have been better overall if they would have actually said 10 years later, 10 years earlier, something like that. Because it felt disjointed in a lot of spots for me.
And it's weird because at first that was my thought too. It's like, oh, well, you know, they couldn't do the timeline thing because then, you know, they wouldn't have like the surprise or whatever. But the thing is I caught on the first time watching in episode 3, they made it very, very blatant because there is, or maybe it's episode 4. No, it's 3, where in Geralt's timeline, he is fighting a monster in a castle that has a very, very, very old painting of a king and queen as children. Mm. And then in Yennefer's timeline, somebody speaks to those children. At a party, they're like, oh, good to see you, king and queen, or prince and princess. Okay. And so shit like that is there. So it's not. So that's when I caught on the first time watching it. But then I watched through the series a second time with Raylene. And in the very first episode, not even halfway through the episode, they reveal that Geralt's timeline is like 30 years prior to series. Very first episode. Mm. So they're not even hiding it. And so because there's Ciri's talking to her grandmother, mm-hmm. and she's going to ask about battle, and her grandmother's like, oh, you shouldn't worry about battle. It's not a princessly thing. And Ciri's like, you won your first battle when you were my age. And then in Geralt's timeline, he's talking to Renfri, and Renfri's like, well, women are doing all kinds of things. Didn't you just hear that the queen just won her first battle, and everybody's talking about it? And it's like, so if you're going to just flat out have those statements, either they need to be subtle hints that then you think back on Kaiser Soze style at the end, and that's what Westworld did. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to be overt, just have a fucking thing that says what year it is, just to make my life easier. And that's why normally I don't like to give away things like that, but now when I tell people to watch The Witcher, I just tell them, hey, heads up, series real time, Geralt and Yennefer stories are all flashbacks that are less far back as the series goes on until they catch up.
Yeah.
Because there's no... The amount of confusion I've seen is far greater than the amount of times I've had people go, wow, that was so neat when I figured it out. And so,
man. It's been more confusion for me. I mean, I enjoyed the show, but yeah, like Jim and I, we struggled through it. And we watched like 3-4 episodes at a time, and it wasn't, well, not 3-4, like 2 at a time. But, mm-hmm. but yeah, it felt a little disjointed.
But that's why.
Yeah.
And even stuff with that, because then... you know, the people are watching with who aren't even catching on the fact that the wedding with Pavetta and everything, and then the law of surprise, and it's like who that is because it's not overtly clear. But still, the series is really good. But that's I was okay with that, but I understand why some people, you know, were put off by that choice.
Yeah, that's mainly my only complaint about the series. Otherwise, I liked about everything else for it. I did purposely go and watch on YouTube the prank call.
I don't know, a prank call.
The prank call from Witcher 3.
I don't know. Oh, that prank call. Yes, yes, yes. When Geralt and
your description
Lambert
of it
Eskel.
Is much better than what I saw.
That's fine.
But overall,
when you're playing it and you don't know, like when it comes as a surprise, the decisions they make, it's golden. Like once you know what's going to happen, it takes a long time for not a lot of payoff. Sure. But when you're playing through it and it's happening, and you're like, wait a second, is this really happening? Good stuff.
I really, really enjoyed the performance of the Queen.
Yeah.
Her character is by far my favorite character of that whole series so far. But, she's dead, but...
Yeah, that's all right. But, the thing with flashbacks.
She was just really cool. I just really enjoyed her a lot.
She also, she was familiar to me, but I didn't know who the actress was, and so I Googled it. That actress was actually one of my very first crushes as a kid.
Oh, really?
She was in Last of the Mohicans.
Yep.
She is the sister of the main love interest.
Oh, really?
The one that his adopted brother is with. Yeah, Jodie May. And as a kid, I thought she was absolutely gorgeous, and she was one of my first crushes. And so now, again, like as a older man, she still was awesome and beautiful and cool. And so I'm like, who is this chick? She's awesome. And I'm like, oh, okay. Apparently, I still like her.
She just walks around that scene like she owns it. She just destroys everybody.
The lioness of Syntra.
Oh, my God.
She's great. And I love her husband, Iced. Ice was great.
I don't remember him that much.
But he was great. Good stuff.
So Zappity.
Rumble.
Oop,
you missed a lot of Witcher talk, David.
Okay.
Yep.
There were no questions asking us to talk about the Witcher, but fuck it.
Yep. Shane York asks, white tiger, turtle, kangaroo, who is who?
Oh my God. Holy shit. What a fucking travesty this last episode.
What episode?
Masked Singer.
Oh.
So White Tiger is goddamn Gronkowski. Everyone knows it's Gronkowski.
Okay.
Okay. And
I didn't know this was Masked Singer. Damn it.
He can't sing at all. And so who did they ask? They said White Tiger, Turtle, and Kangaroo, right? Just those three. Because those are the only three left from Group 1. Yeah, Group 2 starts this week.
Who is who? Yep.
So that's Gronkowski for clear. But the fucking thing is he can't sing, so each episode it's just him talking over a song. So he keeps picking songs that you can just talk over, like he did Good Vibrations.
Why doesn't he do Rocket Man?
No, because that's not even good talking over like that. He did Good Vibrations, and so he was just talking through the Marky Mark.
Good.
It's like, come on. And it's like,
I thought you were talking about
the Marky Mark version. No, the Marky Mark version. And he did We Will Rock You, and he just keeps doing talk songs because he can't sing, and he even does them terribly, and he fucking got through this last episode when someone who actually could sing got eliminated. It was a goddamn travesty. You deserve better, Shaka Khan. But yeah, that's Gronkowski for sure. I know who the kangaroo is as well, but my brain's frozen because I'm so angry about White Tiger, so I can't remember. I'll say it. I'll remember it by next episode. And I have no idea on the turtle.
Sure.
The two things I'm thinking on the turtle is it's definitely somebody who's not normally known for singing. So Raylene was thinking it might be somebody from like a screamcore, like metal band who gets to sing nicely, kind of like T-Pain in the first season, how he's not known for singing.
What are the hints
on
the turtle?
Well, he's got like a real punk rock outfit and with like all like chains and leather and stuff, and he talks about being expected to act a certain way, and so that's part of that. The one big hint that I latched on in the very first clue package is he mentioned that he got his start with a whole bunch of other young hopeful people, and some of them went on to success and he didn't go as far as they did, but now he's back to try and go further. So my thought that I'm still kind of latched on is he's like a third or fourth place finisher on American Idol. Like someone who didn't make it big, but you know, you kind of remember them vaguely.
What's that dude that ended up singing for Queen for a little bit?
Was it Adam Lambert?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which Lambert would also make sense because the most recent clue package of the Turtles showed a picture of Korea, and apparently that was part of their tour. They went over to Korea. So he could be Adam Lambert, and the God damn it, the kangaroo, I had it because I was just talking about it at work on Friday, and I forgot. I'll try to remember. Zappity.
Oh, somebody did mention in the chat, though, Corey Taylor.
Sure.
Of Slipknot fame.
Oh, Jordan Woods. Jordan Woods is a good choice on the kangaroo, mostly just because of talking about the recent tragedies that she's had in her life. Like, Jordan Woods had, like, 3 family members die within the course of a couple months and stuff like that. So the kangaroo is probably Jordan Woods. Now Zappity.
Grumble! Jacob Collins asks...
Or Jordan Sparks? Whatever.
Is Sonic worth bothering with?
We haven't watched it. I thought that was going to be I thought we were going to pain train that motherfucker.
It seems like it's fresh on Rotten Tomatoes from the last time I saw.
Yeah, it seems like it's not terrible.
Yeah. Which could be good. I mean, which probably does carry the film is Jim Carrey, but I'm happy to see Jim Carrey doing old school Jim Carrey.
It's his largest theatrical opening since 2003.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, his kids are probably happy. I don't know. I'm wanting to see it. The hard part about it is just trying to find a date to do it is the hard part for us.
Well, you know, any random Saturday.
Yeah. Next Saturday I got Guild Ball, though. Announcements! I'm doing Guild Ball next Saturday. Also announcements, we posted a episode from a Guild Ball podcast on our stream called Dark Doubts. That was on our stream on last week.
Yeah.
Well, nice. If you like it, just post and let us know. And all right, so Zappity.
Normal.
How is Marvel Crisis Protocol doing in your area?
It isn't.
Have seen a box. I have not actually seen a miniature.
It's like, doing well on days that we're not at the game store.
Is it?
Yeah, it's on Wednesdays.
Is there a group?
Yeah, Wednesdays at Noble Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good to know. At least
on Wednesdays. But yeah, I have literally not yet seen a miniature.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen it sold in
I've seen it at Noble. The box on the shelf at Noble Knight.
I put a bunch of that stuff on my Amazon wish list, and I let the universe take its course for Christmas. Nobody bought any of it for me, so I'm not playing it. If you want me to play and talk about Marvel Crisis Protocol on this here podcast, all you have to do is buy me the starter set off my Amazon wish list.
It's going for $60, I think. On
and if it shows up at my door, I will play that game. Raylene closes on Wednesdays, so it doesn't matter if I don't make it home for a few hours. And then you'll get some hot Marvel Crisis Protocol action on this here podcast.
Yeah, unfortunately, until I get away from Classic, where I stop playing, doing raiding on Mondays and Wednesdays, I'm not going to be doing much with our other games.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I know. But I like doing that, though. I like playing WoW with friends.
White Tiger.
I can't believe Gronkowski is still in the competition at that point.
Such a fucking travesty. Because the thing is, the second week when he did good vibrations, god damn it. But it is good vibrations. No, the Beastie Boys one is Good Vibrations.
No, not Beastie Boys.
Or Beach Boys.
Beach Boys.
What's the name of the Marky Mark one? Is it also Good Vibrations?
I think so.
Whatever. At least that he was dancing. He flossed. He did a running man. He did the sprinkler. He was working the crowd. I'm like, you weren't the best singer, but at least you were working the crowd. Fucking We Will Rock You was garbage shit. He forgot the words somehow, and he wasn't even singing. It was a travesty. Travesty, David.
Okay.
The judges were shocked. And that's the problem with a democracy is when the rabble vote for the wrong person.
Yeah.
Don't they know that meritocracies are the way to go?
Yeah. Can you feel it, baby?
Dude, it was fucking hilarious.
Come on and swing it. come on, swing it.
Because during the chorus, there's come on. And he enunciated. It was like the Radioactive Man saying up and at them and ruining the up and atom pun in because he was like, come on, come on, come on. It's like, that's not how the song goes, Gronk.
Oh, this is horrible.
Yeah, it's real bad. Come I don't remember the part of the song where he talks about blinding a Vietnamese immigrant.
Strictly hip hop boy. I ain't singing this, bringing that, this to the entire nation. Black, white, red, brown, feel the vibration. The vibration's good like sun-kissed. Many want to know who done this.
Merbund.
Marky Mark and...
Good vibration, sweet sensation.
We should do this with my monotone voice and then you do...
Cumberbund.
We can name the band that.
Yes. I'm done.
Oh, also, since I'm in both Marvel Crisis Protocol Facebook feeds.
There's two of them?
I think there is. I think there's one that was made by them, and there's one that's made by the fans.
Oh.
I am getting sick and tired, and I'm sure that they are getting sick and tired of post-random Marvel character here say, I can't wait till this person's in it. It's like, they'll
be in it when they can be.
Fuck! Also, this led me down to another dark hole. Cool Mini or not, you know how they like to do Kickstarters. You know what game that doesn't need a Kickstarter? A game that includes Marvel characters.
What about a game where one of the add-ons is a very expensive box, and that add-on you can only buy if you back the game at full price, and that's the only way to get the Kickstarter exclusive Beta Ray Bill model?
Yeah! Yeah!
How about that? So it ends up being like a $150 Beta Ray Bill model because you have to buy the game and the add-on to get this one model that
I
you want.
I might just buy it to throw away everything live on stream to keep the Beta Ray Bill.
I saw somebody post that model. I'm like, I know Andy is so mad right now.
Son of a bitch.
What is this drama?
It's like a chibi version of Beta Ray Bill. It looks so fucking amazing.
There's some Kickstarter by Cool Mini or Not that has chibi models similar to like their Dungeon Explorer things. Mm-hmm. And if you buy the full, if you back the full game, then you're allowed to buy add-ons. Then you can buy an add-on that's like a full expansion box. It'll come with the one Kickstarter exclusive model that's a Beta Ray Bill. And that's the only way you're ever going to be able to get that, or to buy it off of eBay for probably more than buying all of this would cost.
Yeah.
Until the bubble bursts and then it's a nickel.
And I can't wait to buy it and then like burn it all live on podcast.
So
just so I can have the Beta Ray Bill. And maybe YouTube will actually give me enough money from me burning that game.
You remember there was a previous Zappity Grumble talking about when the board game market is going to, you know, the bottom is going to fall out. And it's not going to, but this fucking FOMO business model that Cool Mini or Not does, that shit has to stop. People have to stop buying this crap just because they'll never be able to get it again.
Well, no, the other annoying thing about this is everybody in the world will go and buy this off of Kickstarter directly from Cool Mini or Not, which means all of your local stores that would stock this are never going to sell the fucking thing when it finally shows up in the store.
Yep.
And that's stupid.
Yep.
They did that. They did that same thing for Zombicide. They did the same thing for Zombicide, the Middle Ages version of it.
Yep.
It just sat in our fucking game store for months because nobody would buy it because they already have it because they bought off of fucking Kickstarter.
Don't back this shit. You know,
and it's not like this will not sell hotcakes once it goes into the game stores. It will. It's Marvel.
Yeah.
It's actually Cool Mini or Not is actually a pretty decent game and. Company in that terms. It does not need to be funded by the people to bring around because it's fucking Marvel.
Yeah, I'm so frustrated about how Kickstarter works because of that. Like, there's so many like small independent people who are trying to make a game that I back on Kickstarter, and then I see Cool Mini or Not there every few months, and it just infuriates me.
It's like, honestly, it's like seeing like Steamforged when they were doing Kickstarter. It honestly is like Privateer Press, the second time they came out with when they were doing Widower's Wood. I mean, there's other things that could have went in there to help make those games sell a little bit better, but yeah, it's a big company that's using a crowdfunding source that really doesn't technically need it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a big company.
Yeah.
That was
Jim asked in chat if we have any preference for Marvel characters. And so I was looking at possible upcoming characters to be in Crisis Protocol. And I had to double check because I honestly couldn't remember whether this team that I liked was Marvel or DC. Because they were a one-off thing that just had their own shtick.
Are they Great Lakes Avengers? Because I would love to see them.
No. Sadly, the team that I wanted to see in the game are a DC team, and I forgot that DC are the Doom ones Patrol. Who did them. No.
Oh.
Section 8.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yep.
Wouldn't it be great to have Section 8 in Marvel Crisis Protocol? Fucking Dog Welder and Baton and Bueno Caliente or Bueno Excellente. Like, come on. The Defenestrator? You bring your MODOK and your Black Panthers and your Spider-Mans. I have the Defenestrator.
So I have to say, I just looked up the Cool Mini or Not Marvel United Kickstarter that has all of the chibi Marvel characters.
Yeah.
I mean, they have all of the, they have really nice models, chibi models for everything, except then they've got MODOK.
Yeah.
That's redundant.
Yeah. Ironically, MODOK, they should have just made like normal human proportions.
Yeah.
Just to completely flip it. It's just this guy standing there. Hello, I'm MODOK.
There's, I guess, from Gwenpool, I think it is, the comic. There's a MODOK that's from there who's kind of sweet looking as well.
Yeah.
They've got the Children of Thanos, which is really cool.
Yeah. They looks fucking awesome. I might still get it.
So from the movies, obviously, everyone's favorite child of Thanos is Ebony Maw. So then the question is, who's the lamest? And is it Proxima Midnight or Corvus Glaive?
You're just speaking words to me.
What?
Honestly, I really don't know much. The only reason why I know Ebony Maw is because you preach about him all the time. Like whenever there's a free time on a Sunday, you preach about Ebony Maw.
That's a cute looking Corvus Glaive. I'll give him to that. Ebony Maw is the floaty psychic one who's super awesome. The only one then Cole Obsidian is the giant one.
The guy with the giant axe?
Yeah.
That's the one I like.
Yeah, his axe also works like it's a grappling hook. Okay, those are all awesome. Proxima Midnight is the lady with the horns.
Mm-hmm.
And then Corvus Glaive is the guy who actually stabs Vision.
Okay.
He kind of just looks like an orc. You know what I mean? Like, he looks straight out of, like, Lord of the Rings. He's just straight up, like, some kind of evil, like, dark elf. But whatever.
A delf?
Yeah, a delf.
Yeah.
Okay, I got down to the Beta Ray Bill model. Yes, Andy, you're allowed to do this without being mocked.
That Beta Ray Bill model is worth $100.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's just so fucking cool. I was so bad when I saw some, because somebody posted a really cool picture of Beta Ray Bill. I will be drawn to any picture of Beta Ray Bill. Cool picture there, and then they posted, like, how can we use this in this game? I'm like, what the fuck is that shit? And then I went down the evil rabbit hole.
And yet you didn't notice the Beta Ray Bill Easter egg in Thor Ragnarok the first time you saw it.
I didn't really notice it because I wasn't too familiar with Bill's race that much, and it's not really Bill's head.
It's a giant picture of his head.
Is it actually his head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've
watched Ragnarok again. Champion Tower.
Yeah, I know where it is. I honestly just didn't.
That's right. Because it's not like somebody mentioned him or he's walking around. It's just a statue.
Oh, if he was walking around, I would have noticed that shit. Oh.
Oh, well, zappity.
Yeah, I just can't get over this.
Everybody's
chibi, and then it's just MODOK.
I'm going to go through preferences of my Marvel characters that I'd like to see.
Yeah, all right. Is it Beta Ray Bill?
Beta Ray Bill.
I'm
on board with the Beta Ray Bill train, too.
Yeah.
Beta Ray Bill, or honestly, I would love to see the original Drax the Destroyer running around.
With the goofy costume and everything.
Yeah, with the giant skull on his cummerbund. Belt. On his cummerbund, yes.
He's got the skull cummerbund.
I like Drax. I would love to see the Infinity Watch be made into like the original Infinity Watch with Adam and I think it was Moondragon, Pip the Troll, and Drax. Which involves one of my favorite scenes ever with Drax the Destroyer is when Adam Warlock handed him, I think, the strength gem for for him to be the guardian of it. And Drax goes, jelly bean, and then eats it. And then Adam's like, well, I guess it's safe.
Well, depending on how long his digestive tract takes. Speaking of Beta Ray Bill, kind of, you'll see the reason why. My recommendation this week.
Dead horses?
It involves somebody with a horse's head. The finale is done and gone, so now the entire series is bingeable with no need to wait for future seasons. I am once again reminding all and proselytizing with every fiber of my being, BoJack Horseman. That series is goddamn amazing. It is extremely funny and also extremely devastatingly dramatic. Watch the goddamn BoJack Horseman show.
Thank God there is a God in the world.
What?
There you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Do I need to vamp for longer? I kept it short because I've talked about this show 1,000 times, but okay, you're not ready. Are you ready now?
I'm going to recommend, I've done this before, so this is a cop-out. I'm going to recommend Graduating because literally I have been so busy because this is the last semester of my PhD that I have consumed no media in the past. I have consumed almost no media since we last casted. So I'll say play Slay the Spire, since I think that's the only leisure activity I've done other than War Machine since then.
Fair.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend that you go down to your Walden Books, if that still exists in your area.
It does not.
Or your Barnes & Noble, if that still exists in your area.
That might.
Or any other kind of bookstore, maybe like even like a half-price book, some kind of used bookstore. Go over to the comic book section, and there should be a book... graphic novel, it might be, or it might be just called The Ballad of Beta Ray Bill, and pick that fucker up, read it end to end, and realize how fucking awesome is Wilt Simonson as a comic book artist, and how fucking awesome is Beta Ray Bill.
I mean, he's just Thor with a horse head.
He beat the shit out of Thor in rightful combat to claim Mjolnir for himself.
Well,
he also saved Thor's life too after he beat the shit out of him.
Sounds like a Mary Sue.
No. But yeah, you should go check that out.
All right, so Battle of Beta Ray Bill or Kraven's Last Hunt?
If I have to choose?
Yeah.
I bought both of those at the same time from the store. If I have to choose, man, Kraven's Last Hunt is... I like Kraven's Last Hunt a lot.
I'll let
more.
You choose two different scenarios.
Yes, okay.
You're only allowed to have one.
Have one.
You.
Yes.
And then scenario two is someone else will only read one comic in their life, and you're picking.
Kraven's Last Hunt.
That's what you're getting for both of those scenarios, or...?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. So Beta Ray Bill is garbage. That was my takeaway.
Well, the thing is, though, I already have Beta Ray Bill memorized, so I can do that. But no, Kraven's Last Hunt is, oh man, if they would make that into a Spider-Man film, it would be fucking amazing. Yeah. You'd have to have somebody really, really good to play Kraven. Who do you have play Kraven?
I don't know. I'm on the spot. I don't know. David, who would you have play? Give me time to think.
Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah. He's a good singer. Fucking White Tiger.
There'd be no. There'd be no. No.
Bruce Campbell.
Nah. I think Bruce Campbell's a little too campy. I think you have to go with somebody that's super dark.
You do.
I think Tom Hardy might be a really good Kraven, but he's already a Venom. Tom Hardy would be good in just about anything.
Whatever. What about the Joaquin Phoenix? He did all right as the but now it's too late because he's been joke man.
He's not big enough, I don't think. Kraven's buffer.
Fair.
He's he's the hunter.
All right, well, Terry Crews.
Yeah.
I could see it. I honestly could potentially see Terry Crews in there, but I think I want to say his comedy stuff has actually done him really
he does really well in comedy, and so
I don't know if I could take him seriously as being somebody who literally has to become the spider to beat the spider.
Fair. Yeah, I mean, Tom Hardy's great. We'll give it to Tom Hardy.
Yeah. Plus, Tom Hardy with a mustache is always awesome.
He was great in Bronson.
He was also good in Taboo.
This may be a weird one, but Jim Carrey.
I mean, you know, he's got the rubber face. He's great as Dr. Robotnik, or so I've heard.
I don't know. I mean, if we're going back in time, Tom Selleck back in.
well,
if we're choosing from that those timelines, yeah, Tom Selleck would probably be good. But
okay, hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to visualize this version of it.
I'm trying.
He's a talented thespian.
Mm-hmm.
He's done comic book movies in the past a villain. No, Dolph Lundgren is dead.
Dolph Lundgren isn't dead. He didn't die.
No, Rutger Hauer died. My bad.
Yeah.
No.
Is that your life story?
No.
Is
it? No.
You missed the Rutger
Hauer. I want
Hauer.
You to give this a shot, and I want you to visualize.
All right.
Visualize him as Kraven and him as the spider. Visualize in your mind.
This is going to hurt.
Danny DeVito.
I would only watch Kraven's Last Hunt if Danny DeVito was playing all parts.
Yes, all parts.
All parts.
One man
both,
show.
Both Spider-Man, Mary Jane, you would have him playing as Kraven, you have him playing as Vermin.
Yep. The all and Danny DeVito version of Kraven's Last Hunt.
You'd be actually perfect as Vermin, though.
All right, good night, everybody.
And Captain America, because Captain America would be in there in a flashback.
Oh, my Lord.
Because that's when Vermin, that's pretty much the whole premise of that whole story is that Spider-Man needed help from Captain America to take out Vermin, and Kraven took out Vermin just by himself.
Yeah. That's definitely the plot of that story.
I love that story a lot.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.